want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Live in Truth. It is from the series, The Things That Jesus Taught. This message is based on command number 8, Keep Your Word. We pray that it is a blessing to your life.
I'm going
to
start in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 and 37. It says, again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Now that was before hair dye. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now that last statement, that's a strong statement. That anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, we're talking again about living in truth tonight. And so understand that Jesus, in this portion of scripture, this teaching, he was not talking about that we should never take a legal oath like they do in court or when one steps into a political office. That's not what he's talking about. But he was talking about living in truth. He was talking about truth being a lifestyle. So much so that you don't have to swear by anything. Okay. Understand, you should never have to say, I swear. You should never have to say, I promise, for somebody to believe you. Now, how many of you ever had, you told somebody something, they say, you promise, or you swear, and you would, oh yeah, I promise, right? You should never have to say so. Now, Jesus, now listen, that was a strong statement. He said anything that goes beyond yes and no comes from the evil one. Why is that? Because what happens is that tears down the power of a person's word. So, we are to live truth as a lifestyle so that when people know that when you say it, that it's truth. That when you say it, they don't have to wonder about whether or not you're lying, whether or not you're trying to deceive them in any way. And how many of you know we live in a world where it's kind of hard to trust people? We kind of are not sure if they're telling us the truth or not. You know, anybody ever go to, you know, you try to buy a car or something and you just know that there's going to be some hidden cost somewhere that they're not telling you about. I remember Pastor Cindy and I, we were going to buy her a car one time and she had found a little car that she liked. And so we told them going in, listen, I want to know what the price is. Don't come up here with some extra charges. Tell me exactly what we're going to be paying for when we walk out that door. And so that he gave us a price. Well, she wrote a check. And then when we get there, we start signing paperwork and all. They said, oh, by the way, they gave us that figure plus they added $200. And she said, what's this $200 for? Oh, well, this is a fee that everybody charges. You go, wait a minute. We went over this already. Okay? We told you we don't want to pay a penny more than the price you're quoting us. So give us the price, everything, completely, all together, all the charges and everything. And you didn't do that. And he goes, oh, well, you know, hey, look, it's just another $200. You know, you're going to get a great car and so on and so forth. And so we said, well, we are going to get a great car. We are. But it's not going to be this one. Bye, Felicia. Right. So, and we didn't buy that car either. Okay. So here's the deal. When you're dealing with people, we just can't help but be suspect. We're suspect. Are they telling us the truth or not? And so that's because of the culture we live in. And it's because, you know, I don't know about you, but growing up, it was just common as a kid. We all did it. It was, you promise? Yeah, I promise. Or when we'd say something, even to our parents, and they knew that we were trying to pull a fast one on them, they would go, it would say, well, I don't know. And I'd say, but I promise, right? So because we live in that culture, what happens is that it tears down the honor that is found in truth. Now, Jesus is dealing in a culture here where with the Jewish people, what they were doing when he talked about vowing to the Lord, what they would do is they would swear an oath on something. And for instance, you know, if they said, I swear an oath upon my son or my daughter or something like that, well, then if they didn't keep that oath, then they would come and take their son or their daughter. So they learned to swear an oath on things that had no value. You know, I swear oath on that rock or whatever. And that's why he was saying, just quit all that. Just honor your word and do what you said you do. And you don't have to worry about all these oaths. Everybody understand that? So Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, of course, this is one of the commandments. And he says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. In other words, don't be telling lies about your neighbor. This commandment has to do with, when it all comes down to it, it has to do with controlling your tongue. How many found that that can be a little difficult? It's important. It's extremely important, but it's extremely difficult. In fact, we will be judged according to the words we spoke. The Bible says that we're going to give an account for every idle word, right? So the words that we speak matter. So we want to make sure we're speaking truth. So many people don't realize the awesome destructive power of the human tongue because of, you know, misspoken words. Many times, homes have been splintered, torn apart, reputations shattered, lives destroyed, and sometimes even ended all over words. So everyone ought to do, I believe, a word study on the tongue. I would encourage you, go and do a word study on the word tongue in the Bible and just find out everything you can about it, and it'll sure make you think twice about what you're saying. So the Bible has a whole lot to say about that tongue. It's a little piece of muscle that lies in your mouth right behind your lips and your teeth. And that thing can either bless or bruise. It can either hurt or heal. It can either love or lie. It could bring forth life or it could bring forth death. It is an extremely powerful thing. It all depends on how you use it. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. How many of you have ever been deceived, ever been lied to, and you just felt so crushed by it? James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, the good news is no man can tame the tongue, but we serve a God who can tame anything. Amen? The Holy Spirit can certainly tame that tongue. He's letting you know this ain't going to be something you can do by yourself. So Jesus reminds us that we can do everything through him who strengthens us, right? The Apostle Paul told us that about Jesus. So there's absolutely no excuse for a reputation assassination with your tongue. Psalm 34:13, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. So the ninth commandment actually deals really primarily with a person's testimony in a trial setting, but the scripture lets us know all through the scripture that God hates the lying tongue, period. Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, that means one who will not stand for truth, one who is faithless, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters. Man, that sounds like all a bunch of terrible people. And right there at the end of the list, he puts, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You know that there are whole cultures that their whole culture is based on their ability to deceive and lie. I remember years ago watching a movie called Peace Child. It was about a missionary who had gone into, I forget which country it was, but there were some warring tribes in that country. And he went there to try to witness to them and bring the gospel to them. But what he realized is when he brought the gospel to them, when he told them the part about Judas betraying Jesus, they all began to cheer. They all thought it was wonderful. Judas ended up being the hero of the story. And the missionary's like, wait a minute, that didn't go so well. You know, something didn't work right. Well, what happened is in that culture, to them, the greatest person was the person who could deceive the best. And so they had a habit of deceiving other tribes people to come into, and these were cannibalistic tribes, to come into their tribe. They would deceive them, make them think they were friendly, make them think that they wanted to have some sort of a bond or some kind of peace with them, only to deceive them to the point of killing them. And that's what they thought that was powerful to them. That's what a hero could do, whoever could deceive the best. So the missionary ended up teaching them about Jesus, and Jesus was called the Peace Child. What he found out was in their culture, they also had another tradition where a king of another culture, or the head of the tribe of the other tribe and the head of this tribe, would trade off their sons. And if they traded their sons off to the other tribe, then they had peace for as long as that son was there and was taken care of. And so he was able to bring the gospel through that means, talking about Jesus was the Peace Child, that God sent his son to make peace with us. And so, but I found it interesting that their whole culture was based upon that. It's hard for me to even imagine that a culture would be based upon deception. But you know what? When I look at our culture, I find out that it's based upon deception a whole lot too. You just never know who's lying to you. They lie to you about all kinds of stuff, they lie to you to sell you stuff, right? So as we look at this principle, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will help us to always hold the truth and hate lies. So if we have no problems with lies, then we really don't understand love. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. You can't be sincere and a liar at the same time. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. He's really describing what love really is. And we have twisted love. We think love is something different. What we call love is really nothing more many times than selfish lust, selfishness, what I can get out of another person, how they make me feel. It's not a choice to lay down my life for another person. That's love, right? That's what the scripture tells us Jesus did for us. So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18, it says, like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. In other words, he's saying you can beat that poor guy. And even, you know, arrows and swords were not used just to beat people. They were used to kill people. He's saying you could beat that person and you could kill that person with your words. So according to the Bible, a person's good name or reputation is far more valuable than riches or expensive perfume. That is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You know, anytime you do anything for the Lord, I don't care who you are, you're going to have people use their tongue against you. You understand that? Anytime you stand up for righteousness, you're going to have people upset with you. Anytime you don't bow to a person's selfish will, you're going to have people, they're going to use their tongue against you. So, you know, people come to me, sometimes a pastor will come and say, man, these people are just smearing stuff all over town about us, just saying all kinds of ugly stuff about us. And I say, you've heard me say it here before, but hey, welcome to the ministry, right? Welcome to the ministry. And I say, listen, you're not alone. Every pastor who's ever lived has experienced that. We experience it all the time. It just happens. It's just part of it. But I feel sorry for that person when they have to stand before God, when they've used that tongue in the wrong way to bring harm to a ministry. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about that if there's immorality going on in a ministry or sin, outright sin going on in a ministry, that shouldn't be exposed. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you better be careful how you use your tongue and your words when you're talking about God's people, God's ministry. Amen. Everybody understand that? Well, a person's reputation can be destroyed by lies. And so it's a serious thing. When we undermine the reputation of another by lies, we are guilty of destroying that person's respectability and credibility before others. Now, here's the other problem. Sometimes we don't even know that it's a lie, because we're just saying something we heard somebody else say, and we just started running with it because we wanted to believe it. Amen? And so we're guilty of doing unspeakable damage to that person's life. You know, a pastor was having trouble with gossip in his church. Every time one of the female members saw that pastor's car parked anywhere strange, she would begin to immediately spread the word that the pastor was having an affair. And there was no truth to her rumors whatsoever, but she just kept it up. So finally the pastor said, you know what, I'm going to fix this. And so he went, he had his car and his wife's car, but he went and parked his car right in front of that lady's house for about 3 days and just left it there. And that kind of ended that problem. The words of a false witness can be forgiven, but they will never be forgotten by those who are touched by their poison. God loves truth, but God hates lies. There was a poem, I'm not even sure who wrote this poem. I just have the words to it, but it says, the man who with the breath lent him by heaven, speaks words that soil the innocence of a life, is but murder, for death is given as surely by the tongue as by the knife. So let's talk about this. There's several ways in which people are guilty of using their tongues against one another, several ways that we're guilty of not living in truth. So let's just look at some of this, kind of unpack this. Number one is slander. We talked a little bit about that. But slander is any communication of false statements which is injurious to a person's reputation. And so we are guilty of slander when we knowingly lie about another person in an effort to harm their reputation. Now, let me add a little to that. We're also guilty of slander whether we know it's a lie or not, if we're spreading it. Because we have no business spreading something about a person that we ourselves have not verified. And if we're saying it about that person, it should not be because we want to bring harm to that person. Everybody understand that? It's one thing to bring truth out, you know, to protect somebody, for instance. Okay? That's one thing. You know, we tell people all the time, and sometimes it's just too late by the time they, you know, they just blurt it out to us. People will come up and they'll say, Pastor Duane, blah, 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 blah. I said this, or I did this, or this is how I feel. And then they go, but please don't tell anybody. And they have this idea that if you tell a pastor, that the pastor has to be silent. But I'm going to tell you right now, I have to tell people all the time, look, if you're talking about harming yourself or harming somebody else, or you harmed somebody else, or you did this or that, and it's illegal, it's against the law, then don't tell me unless you want to be turned in. You understand that? Because by law, I have to. I have a good friend. A little girl came and to this pastor and confided in this pastor before he even knew it. And she said, Pastor, my daddy's been molesting me. So what's the man to do? Well, there's only one thing he could do. He had to go to the police. But do you know it split his church completely apart? Because that little girl's family, of course, blamed everything on the pastor. Instead of seeing, no, this is the filthy pervert who was molesting his own daughter, it was all the pastor's fault because he caused all this trouble in their family. This is how people think. This is what they do. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm not talking about me going around and gossiping, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you feel like you got to bear your heart to somebody, then the best thing you can do is bear it to the Lord. I don't want you to come vomit all that stuff all over me. Okay? And if you tell me that you're doing something illegal, I'm going to turn you in. Amen. And if you're not here next Wednesday, I'll know. You can hear somebody say, well, I ain't going to this church. Listen, that doesn't mean that we don't try to help people and bless people and bring people to repentance. But you know what? When a person has broken the law, the first thing they need to do is fess up to it. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way it needs to be. And we live in a society when we do everything we can to get out of the trouble, get out of our consequences, though we know we're guilty. But we're looking for a loophole to get out of it. So, again, we don't want to slander people, and we don't want to talk about people and try to destroy their reputation. But there are times when truth has to be spoken, when you have to protect somebody. Okay, everybody understand that? Number two, just outright lying. Outright lying. Lying is any false statement deliberately presented as being true. And it could be about anything. Doesn't necessarily have to be about a person. The book, The Day America Told the Truth, says that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters that they consider trivial. 91% of Americans. 36% lie about what they consider important matters. So 91% say, well, I lie about trivial things, but 36% actually admit to the fact that they lie about what they consider important matters. 86% lie regularly to their parents. 86%. Before you tell that little teacher, my little Johnny don't do that. My little Susie would never do that. Remember, 86% lie to their parents regularly, not every once in a while. But, you know, it's no wonder that kids lie to their parents, because their parents teach their kids to lie. The bill collector or somebody they don't want to talk to calls, and what does a parent do? Tell them I'm not home. Tell them I can't come to the phone. The parents teach the kids to lie. 35% of adults lie to their employers about being sick. 35%. So what happens? Their kids see them call in sick to miss work, and they know they're lying because they know they ain't sick. So what are they doing? They're teaching their kids to lie. And then what happens is now they're going to get mad at their kids when their kids lie to them. 75% of Americans lie to their friends. 73% lie to their siblings. And 69% lie to their spouses. Now, those are just the ones that are honest enough to admit it. And all of the ones who admitted it are admitting that they're liars. Right? So the number's probably way higher than that. Well, it's not surprising when our society is being taught that there's no absolute truth. Now, by the way, not keeping your word is also lying. That's kind of what Jesus was talking about as well in scripture that he said. Just not keeping your word. This is when you say you're going to do something, but you don't do it. Well, it's lying. It's lying. Let me give you some examples. You make an appointment, but you don't bother to keep that appointment, and you don't bother to let the person know you're not going to keep that appointment. That's lying. You wasted that person's time. How about this one? You make a debt, and you ought to understand that you were bound by your word to pay it. You make a debt, but you don't pay it. If you don't pay it, you're lying. And if you don't intend to pay it, you're lying to the people when you make the debt. How many times I've known people, it's like, every time I see you, you got a different phone number. What's the deal? Well, I moved to another company. Do I have to tell you why they moved to another company? They didn't pay their bill. It's like, well, I'll just go get another number, another phone, another company. I know I'm not talking about anybody in this room or anybody kin to you. I'm sure it's not applying to you at all, but I'm sure you know people like that. But bills, loans, rent. Listen, I believe with all my heart, you make a debt, you pay the debt. If you don't pay the debt or make every attempt that you possibly can to pay that debt, then you are a liar. I don't care if it makes good business sense to go bankrupt. It's lying. Amen? Now, it's one thing if it's just an impossibility. Somebody gets hurt. There's a, you know, a person can't work because of an injury or whatever. You know, there may be ways around that. But if it's just because you're just not going to take care of the debts that you have made, you're lying. You're not living in truth. People lie. They don't pay their rent. And then, listen, I understand this as a landlord. I understand this. They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay on such and such a day. You show up there. They done moved all their furniture and everything out of there and left a mess and repairs to do. So how else do people not keep their word? How about this one? Somebody comes to you. They tell you what's going on with them. And you go, oh, man, listen, I just want you to know I'll be praying for you. And then the moment they walk away, you forgot all about it. I know y'all don't do any of this stuff. I'm just talking about this is how people do sometimes. So, you know, here's another one. Boy, this one, I hear this one all the time. Walking through Walmart, walking through the dollar store, you know, walking and going to get gas somewhere. I run into somebody that recognized me. Oh, hey, Pastor Dwayne. Hey, oh, hey, what time does church start? What time does church start? Man, I'm going to be there Sunday. The moment I hear what time does church start, I want to already start calling them a liar. Before they even ask the question, because I know what's coming next. What time does church start? You're lying. Not planning on being there. You're just nervous and don't know what else to say right now because you're under conviction. Yeah, you still have church on Sunday? Yeah. Nah, we moved it to Tuesday. Now, here's some other stuff. Look, when you speak forth, talking about misusing the tongue, when you speak forth and implant the seed of a lie or of bitterness or of offense, and it's received by someone, then it's going to impregnate that person. And that seed, hear me, that seed can never bring forth life. That seed that's born out of a lie or that is born out of wrong intention can never bring forth life. It is going to birth something, but what it's going to birth is death. That seed, it's impossible for it to bring forth life because it cannot contain the Spirit of God. It can only contain poison for the soul. Listen, Adam didn't come alive until God breathed his spirit into him, right? He had to breathe his spirit into him. The seed of a lie or the seed of bitterness or the seed of offense does not contain the breath or the spirit of God. And so, in other words, it wasn't spoken by his spirit. Therefore, it cannot bring life. It can only bring forth death. So I say that to say, not only do you need to be careful about what you say, but you need to be very careful about what you listen to, about what you take in. Because whether you realize it or not, you will be impregnated with that death seed. And it will bring death and destruction. It'll steal. It'll rob from you. Amen. That's the way it works. I've seen it happen many, many times. And, you take on bitterness that you take on somebody else's offense. And there's no grace for you to get through that. So choose wisely which words you both speak and receive from people. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Chuck Colson of Prison Fellowship said, we're living in a post-truth society. Post means after. We live in a post-truth society. God never condones our lifestyle based on cultural standards. God's standard is His Word, which is truth. So our whole society is based now on a lie. Now, thank God it looks like some of that's kind of starting to turn around. But I would have never thought, and I'd lived in the day where I'd see how people are so completely turned around and backwards and what they think is right and wrong. We have, as a culture, gone so far in the wrong direction that now that which used to be reprehensible now is socially acceptable, even in the churches. And so I want you to know that just because it's better than what you see over here doesn't mean it's truth. It has to be God's word or it's nothing. If you want truth, it's going to be based upon His word. Anything less than that is not truth. How many of you know a half-truth is not truth? Amen? All right, let me give you a few more. Tale-bearing. Gossip. Gossip is always sin. Here's the key. Never empower a lie by listening to it. Never empower a lie. Never empower a gossiper or their gossip by giving it ear. The best thing you can do is shut that down. Okay? Proverbs 17:4, a wicked man listens. Now listen, it's not saying a wicked man says, it's saying a wicked man listens to evil lips. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. So he's saying, if you're going to listen to it, you're a liar yourself. So you're supposed to confront gossip. You can't just let it go on because it's going to bring destruction. And if God's people don't confront it, then who's going to confront it? The problem is so many times God's people are the one doing it. I know this is all them people that are going to hear it on the radio. That's who all this is for. Listen, gossipers don't care about truth. They just want something juicy to talk about. So understand, they will be just as ready to turn their short tongue on you as they were on anybody else that they were talking to you about. I have seen this. I've seen it personally, where as soon as somebody would walk away, the other person that was there would just start bad-mouthing, gossiping, okay, as soon as they'd walk away. And then as soon as you walk away, you hear by somebody else later that after you left, they did the same thing to you. I've had it happen. Okay. My bad was sitting there listening in the first place. I should have shut it down. But see, now I opened myself up to the attack. So listen, if a gossip will gossip to you, they're going to gossip about you. Because what they do is gossip. And it's what they do best. And many lives have been destroyed by gossip. So God has a word about that too. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You know what I heard? Let me tell you what I heard. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that you should keep secrets that could harm that person or harm somebody else. If a person's doing something to hurt themselves or to hurt someone, that needs to be told to the proper authorities, to the proper people in their life. If the person that you're telling has no power or authority or ability to do anything about that situation, keep your mouth shut till you find the right one to talk to. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you just gotta shut up. All right, number 4, insinuation. Here's another one, insinuation. We're talking about living in truth. And these are ways where we don't live in truth. Insinuation, it means it's insinuating or hinting to get somebody or to believe a lie. Well, that's no less wrong than just outright lying, because you know you're leading them or insinuating them. You know that they're going to believe something based on your insinuation, and you don't do anything to correct it. And you know what? That can be done just by body language. It can be done by the expression on your face. All right, here's another, an exaggeration. How many of you know we stretch numbers, we stretch statistics, and we do all that kind of stuff to make things look better than what they really are? I had to get onto a guy one time, came to church here a long time ago. Someone had asked him, another preacher had asked him about how big this church was. And at the time, I don't know, we might have had, I guess, maybe 100 people or so that came to church here. And so he asked the guy how big the church was. And the guy, because he knew him and he wanted to look like he was something, he said, "Oh, we got about 200. The guy goes, "Really? I didn't know there was a church that strong in Iowa." And he told me that. And I said, "You told this guy we got 200 people? You know good and well we don't." "Well, you know, I was speaking in faith. I was speaking in faith." I said, "No, you wasn't. You were lying. You were lying. You weren't speaking in faith." Fishermen, need I say more? The one that got away, right? Pastor Mike Melee says, when Sister Elaine gets on to him about exaggerating, he always tells her, "Now, Elaine, I've told you at least a million times I don't exaggerate anymore." All right, here's another one, but I got to hurry up. Another one. Silence. Number six, silence. Do you know that even in silence you can be lying? In silence you can be lying. Silence can be lying, just like speaking the lie outright. You know what? When you hear a lie told and you remain silent, you're just as guilty as the one telling the lie. You become a party to the deception by not setting the record straight. So are you guilty of using your tongue to harm another? You know, that's why Romans tells us, you know, whenever you, not only goes around talking about the, in Romans chapter 1 and 2, and it's talking about those who get into homosexuality and get into suppressing the truth for a lie and all of that kind of stuff. Well, at the end of that, it says, listen, not only will they be held accountable, but those who approved of it will also be held accountable. Okay? That goes for any sin. If you approve of the sin, you'll be held accountable for the same sin. So when you use your tongue to attack another, then you are opening up your life for the judgment of God. And James was right when he said that that tongue is a restless evil. So are you guilty before the Lord of using your tongue in a way that's not pleasing to Him? Let's look at this. Where do lies originate from? I'm going to give you actually several scriptures here. Where do lies originate from? Well, John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44. Jesus says to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I come from God and now am here. I've not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, here's something that I saw that I hadn't quite seen before, that he says that he's a murderer from the beginning. And what qualifies him for being a murderer? What qualifies him for being a murderer is the fact that he doesn't hold to the truth. So is it possible that when we don't hold to the truth, we are a willing participant in somebody's murder? I believe so. And I believe spiritually it happens all the time. When we don't hold to the truth, then we are participating in someone being eternally lost forever. So we have to hold to the truth. And so when he lies, when the devil lies, well, he's just doing what comes natural to him. He's doing what, you know, this is now who he is. This is who his character is. And he is the father of those lies. He basically, what that means really is, when he lies and he speaks his native language, when he lies, he's leaning to his own understanding. That's why the scripture told us and warned us not to do that. Don't lean to your own understanding. He's going to do things according to his own devices, his own way. John chapter 18, verse 35 through 38. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest from the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You were a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate says, it was an honest question. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for the charge against him. No, Pilate really didn't know truth because he really had no relationship with Jesus. So he didn't know truth because Jesus is the truth, right? And so he's saying, what is truth? And as a result of him not knowing the truth, he himself was deceived. Now, where does truth originate from? John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Matthew 5:13-19, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And he says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter or the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what we're trying to do is practice and teach these commands, because what we're really trying to do is we're trying to uphold truth, and by upholding truth, that's how we become light in the world. We can't even really become light in the world until we know the truth. Being light doesn't just mean we go around telling everybody that we know Jesus. Being light is declaring the truth that Jesus declared. And that's why we're teaching on this stuff, because we want people to have good, bright lights. Amen. Now, John 3:1-3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you were doing if God were not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So again, truth and the kingdom are completely tied together. And so apart from Christ, apart from the truth that not only he says, but the truth that he is, we can't even know truth. Like Pilate, we don't really even know what truth is. We may think we know what it is, but we really don't know truth. And so John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, what I've been trying to do here is tie the two together. One of the reasons why we're teaching what we're teaching, and I'm so glad that we came across material that has taught us that if you really want to make a difference, you better know what Jesus taught. And so that's why we're doing the teaching that we're doing now, because he says the truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But what was the truth? His teaching. If you hold to my teaching, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he's not just talking about come to Jesus, you know, and ask him to come live in your heart, and you're automatically set free. Because how many of you know Christians who they've asked Jesus in their heart, but they're still in bondage? So that bondage, the only way the bondage is going to be broken is when they get a hold of the truth that Jesus taught, because those are the keys to the kingdom that unlock the door that sets people free. Okay? Those are the keys. And so I want to encourage you to not only come on Wednesday nights and listen to teaching, but I want to encourage you, go back through and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go read all the red letters. You know, in fact, men's Bible study right now, what we're doing is we're going through the book of John, and we're just digging out everything that we can in that Bible study. But go back and read the things specifically that Jesus said and ask God to give you revelation on them. Because that revelation wasn't supposed to be for the world, but it is for his children. Amen? Now, John 14:11-17, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, I hear people all the time quoting that part about you can ask anything in his name and he'll do it. So they use the name of Jesus for anything and everything. But that has to be qualified with the next statement. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And if you obey what he commands, in other words, you have learned what he commanded, and then now you're doing it, you're walking it out. And as a result of that, because your heart now was so knit with his, your will is now so knit with his, that anything you ask, he'll do it. Why? Because it's going to be according to his will, not according to your own selfish will. And he says, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In fact, the world thinks that the truth that we know is foolishness. So the truth of the matter is that when we stand for truth, the world is not going to understand it, but we have to stand for it anyway, and not just stand for it, but we must walk it out and we must obey it. Romans 1:18-20, the wrath of God's being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth with their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So ultimately, men are going to be without excuse. That's why it's so important for us to bring the truth and let that light shine. Romans 2:6-8. And by the way, they do suppress the truth by their wickedness. In other words, they don't want to know the truth. So it's when we meet people like that, that's where we have to back up, not try to cram the word down their throat, but we have to back up and begin to pray for them that God remove those blinders from their eyes and then exhibit that truth in front of them. Romans 2:6-8, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-17. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Now, he's talking about when the Antichrist actually rises on the earth. This Antichrist who's going to, you know, we know that that's going to happen in the last days. Okay. But what the scripture's saying here is the reason people fell for it, the reason people were deceived by it, was because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For those who love the truth, you don't ever have to worry about some Antichrist. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. For this reason, God sends them. These are the people that refuse to love the truth. God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. If you choose to believe the lie long enough, then God says, all right, have at it. Now notice what it said. It didn't say Satan sent the delusion. It said God sent the delusion. There will come a point in time when God's going to say enough. Enough is enough. And he sends a powerful delusion so that they'll go ahead and believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Listen, whether they call themselves Christians or not, if they delight in wickedness, that tells me that they do not know the truth. They are not in the truth. Doesn't mean a Christian will never sin, but a Christian shouldn't delight in sin. We ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Notice the last thing he said, in every good deed and what? And word. In other words, living in the truth. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor, let's live in truth.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.